Hello and welcome to LincolnCast. This is the Giant Bomb Community Guild Wars 2 podcast for the week of October 12th, and I am your host, not self-confessed cynic. This is Durin, and joining me today is not Nubarama. It is Revan.
I just want to crush things between my thighs because they're so assurable.
For the first couple of seconds of that, you sounded like Noob, and that was scary.
I was worried.
I am offended.
Also joining us today is Thurbleton.
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
You mean not Zumi Ramen?
So yeah. Not Zumi Ramen. And
I can try talking with a British accent if you like.
That was almost a little bit of Australian,
The whole Commonwealth. I can never nail one country down.
Do the old Prospector voice. Just that'll be Zumi Ramen from now on.
I'll just try doing the old Prospector voice all podcast long.
I'm saying right now, you're not doing that all podcast long.
That is the best. All right, so as you guys can probably tell, we have completely changed everything up this week. Cynic couldn't make the podcast, and neither could Noob. I think Noob was out, I don't know, getting eaten by bears or something. I don't know.
You mean a movie? Like doing some siege of some dictator in South Africa.
Yeah, something. He's putting his plan in motion. That's all he really told me. I don't know what that means, but I figure we'll hear about it on CNN probably later this week.
It'll require us to turn on CNN and then have something other than the election on.
Good luck. So, but the show will go on. We're going to probably have a bit of a shorter show this week, mostly because I don't know how to run a podcast, so we're just kind of winging it. So, first off, we're going to start off, as per usual, with what everyone's been playing. So, Revan, what have you been playing this week?
A lot of XCOM and occasionally some NBA 2K13.
All right, so with a lot of XCOM, how are you feeling on XCOM? Because I've played a little bit, like two missions of the tutorial so far. And
all right, I played the demo before I got the game, and I didn't really like the way that demo started off because I didn't like that they kind of just took a lot of the control from you to start with.
But I've heard that that persists pretty much through the entire tutorial, so for like the first hour and a half or so of the game.
Yeah, but then after that, it's so good. It's so crazy. I don't know how to describe it.
With the panic that sets in Ryan Davis's face every time XCOM is brought up, I actually kind of feel okay as somebody who has never played an XCOM game before that they are holding your hand so much in those first hour to 2 hours, because I'm not really looking for, like. I feel kind of like he described, where like I'm not really looking forward to the rampant difficulty that I've heard happens, but at the same time, I fucking can't wait.
I don't know if I've hit the part where it gets more difficult, and I'm pretty sure I don't want to, but there's been some crazy difficult missions, and some ridiculous things have happened.
Well, I've heard it's when you hit the spinning saucer things or whatever, like that's pretty much the tipping point for.
Oh, okay, then I've hit the part where it gets real crazy and real difficult, because fuck those things.
So how many casualties so far?
Probably a good amount. I haven't checked, but I know I want to say from the first group of like four people I had, I have one person left.
Well, and that's not counting the tutorial group, because like those first three, they just die. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, like, so past like, that.
Past that, when I actually had like full control. I have one person left, and I know that's because I changed his name.
Is it the original guy from the tutorial, the one that lived?
Yeah, the one that lived. I changed his name. That's how I know he's there.
See, the guy on my team that I know is going to live, like, flat out, he is... Even when he was a rookie, he was the last to go forward, is the guy who has the guile hair. Because can't let him die.
You can customize it. You know that, right?
I know, but I already have him, so, like, he is the guile guy for me now.
You can change his name to Guile. Guile guy, make him French.
Guile guy, there you go. Guile, I can't even say it. All right, so other than XCOM, because we could go real deep into that, I think, even with the little I've played of it, and it sounds like you probably... I'm guessing you're probably, what, like maybe a third of the way through then?
I don't know, because I spent a lot of the time like preparing for that mission to assault the base. That mission that, Ryan and Jeff were
trying to.
I put that off for so long, but I was lucky. I had a save after one mission, and it went like almost a month without giving me anything to do, and then two countries left the XCOM project like that. So I just reloaded that save and made a few more changes, and just went straight to that mission.
Okay, so you're not following the no reloading rule that a lot of people seem to be.
I have multiple saves inside a mission.
So that's a no.
I have a... Like, you know how Ryan wanted to capture that disc? I have multiple saves on multiple missions of me trying to do that. But I don't think you actually can.
Okay, that was going to be my next question, is can you? But, all right, well, shit. Okay, all right, like I said, we're going to move on past XCOM.
Maybe I needed the upgraded arc thrower or whatever it is, but oh, I don't know.
Don't introduce more possibilities, because then you'll just keep trying. So, aside from XCOM, I'm already blanking. What did you say the other game was you played?
NBA 2K13.
Okay. And you said before we recorded that you had some things you wanted to talk about with that one. I'm not a sports guy, so I can't really say one way or the other. Do you play sports games?
Nope.
So this will be a real short one.
You need to get touchdowns in that game, right?
Yeah, touchdowns and extra points.
The field goal is really where you. I mean, that's
no. It's really move. About the tries. It's really about
you get
the
your
tries.
Squadron to the the target zone, right?
Yeah,
but you want to avoid getting a birdie because that's bad.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Continue.
All right. At first, I had an issue with the control change they made where they put everything on the right stick and the left trigger was just a modifier for when you shoot, and I didn't like that just because I was so used to the controls last year where the right stick was shooting.
I noticed used to that. When they did the quick look on Giant Bomb, they were really struggling with trying to even just make basic shots until they learned that just hitting X shoots, and that completely bypasses the whole change, right?
Yeah. And it was the same last year. X has always been a shoot button if you don't want to use the shots, if you didn't want to use the shot stick.
Right, but I'm saying the new so the shot stick wasn't new for this year?
No, they just moved how you do all of the ISO moves, the spins, the crossovers.
Oh, okay. So they made that more of an analog movement.
Right, yeah, rather than you
button press.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the other thing is they have their My Player mode where it's you make a player, you lead them through the NBA. From a rookie until whenever you feel like retiring. And they changed it in a way so that they made it more... I think they're trying to make it more persistent, so you'll have an account with this one character throughout the next couple of games, I guess. So they've made it so that you don't just gain points for that mode in that mode. You gain it through other modes. But because you could cheese it, they have it set up so that you have to be online at all times to gain experience in other modes for the My Player mode. And because of that, they disabled auto-saving. And disabling auto... sorry, they didn't disable auto-saving. They disabled the ability to turn auto-saving off. That alone almost made me return that game, because that game... that game auto-saves like a motherfucker.
Well, I was going to say, and I imagine in a career, that's a lot of time you're sinking into that.
It auto saves almost any time you change something in a menu.
Yeah, and so any one thing goes away, you don't necessarily want it to go. You want to be able to reload a save.
Yeah, and they also took out a bunch of the cosmetic things you'd be able to do. Actually, most of the cosmetic things you'd be able to do with your player, and they hid them behind using those experience points in the My Player store to buy a knee pad or an elbow as an elbow sleeve.
They also microtransactions.
Oh, and yeah, but you can use in-game.
Oh, that was in-game stuff. Okay.
But you can also buy it, and someone on the forum, I went to the official TK forums to see if you could disable auto saving, and I read something someone spent $40 and they just made their My Player 99.
Great.
So they were done, and also there's ways to glitch that system in fun ways that you will. I'm just gonna say this on the podcast. If for anyone who actually cares about this, if you want to glitch it, what you do is you play a really good game, and because you can save during games, you just save 2 seconds before the clock runs out, and every time you reload it,
because it's persistent experience and stuff that you're gaining.
Yeah, right? And it counts off at the end of the game, and. If you're doing it in My Player mode, each game, at the end of each game, you'll usually have a press conference. and it won't autosave until after you've gone through the press conference, but you'll have already gotten the experience, the points. If you just keep quitting out, you'll spend more time loading in and out than you will in the actual game.
Oh, that is brilliant.
Yep.
So, all right. So, since you clearly are you know, a basketball video game player, I want to ask you because they were again, you know, referencing back to Giant Bomb. Surprise, surprise. They were talking about the cancellation of NBA Live 13. And they felt like kind of, you know, next year is their one big chance to really have a chance to really come back again with the new consoles. Do you feel like maybe the missteps that were taken on 2K13 could go, you know, help give EA that footing to come back again? Or is it pretty much like, does what they did here not really matter because, you know, there is no competition now and it's a whole new ball game, excuse the pun. With the next systems.
I mean, the stuff I have an issue with is not a gameplay. It's just, like, cosmetic things that they could easily, like, change or fix or not even have in next year. And they'd still be a better, like, functioning.
So gameplay-wise, it's still solid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, once you get used... I mean, you can switch the controls back to last year's, but once you get used to the new controls, they're fine. It's just, I mean, if you played a lot of... of 2K11 and 10 and 12, you'll be used to the old controls. So if like you'll be in a clutch situation or like a panic situation, and you're trying to get a shot off real quick, you might not hit the left trigger to shoot, and you'll be kind of pissed. But other than that, you're fine.
Okay. You get used to them. All right. So one last question before we move on to what Thurs been playing. How much better does Jay-Z make that game?
50% better. I'll go 50%.
There you go. EA has no chance. No chance. All right.
It's because the only... They do an intro before each game in my player mode, so they do a song.
Yeah, like that reminded me of like wrestler intros.
Mm-hmm.
It was fucking weird.
Oh, what they've done in the... What they've done in the story of my player mode is hilarious, where... They make you create a fake Twitter account in game, and people.
That's what I want to do.
I don't, and people will shit talk you over Twitter, or like compliment you over Twitter. So one guy said, "Oh, we're playing this guy. Oh, I'm gonna have some rest in the fourth quarter." So I went and dropped 40 on his ass. So yeah, he did have rest in the fourth quarter because his team was being blown out.
I just, like...
You showed that guy.
Yeah.
The Facebook and Twitter integration in games, I feel like, is already, like...
It's offensive in Madden.
Yeah. And that is the case in a lot of them. But, like,
No, when I say offensive, I mean the first two options after you beat a game are share on Facebook and share on Twitter.
Great. Yeah. I mean, sure.
If you're not paying attention, you could accidentally do that.
You know, I don't even use Facebook, really. Like, I have an account, but I don't really ever update or anything. I'm so fed up. Like, anytime I actually do end up going on Facebook for whatever reason, like, usually to log into another website because it's easier that way, I just see the most, just the dumbest shit that people post on there. Like, I'm almost tempted just to say fuck it in any game that has Facebook integration. I'll just spam the hell out of those people. Just, you know, get them back for all those goddamn Farmville requests.
Oh, Madden on 1 minute quarters.
There you go. So I guess I'm picking up Madden this year. All right, Third, what have you been playing?
Not much. Pretty much just Guild Wars 2. Like I said last week, we finally did the new map for Minecraft, so I've been like putting out fires there and just all the people complaining. But other than that, no, I've been working mostly, thankfully, because games scare me this week. I really wanted to get Dishonored. But I'm just, like, looking at the games to come. I don't think I can beat it in 2 weeks.
You can beat it in 2 weeks.
I could.
You can.
Yeah.
If you had a solid Saturday, you could probably beat that game. Like, it all depends on like, how you approach things. Like, I've heard of people beating it in, you know.
It took me a long time to beat Deus Ex. It's like, I would play it as, like, can't kill anybody.
Okay. Yeah. See, you're looking at probably close to, like, 20 or 30 hours in at that point.
Just because that seems more challenging than just stabbing people.
What's coming out in the next 2 weeks that you want?
Assassin's Creed 3 hits at the end of the month.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at the PC version, so and I'm still it's, 2 more weeks out from that one.
It's more so like, well, I've heard even on the PC version, you still got to use a controller, so I'm like, well, screw it. I'll just use the Xbox.
Yeah, but the higher resolution.
That's true.
And Ubisoft did finally get rid of their persistent online internet connection DRM bullshit.
They just, gave it to UK.
Well, yeah, but it's more so like for principle.
For
me personally, like that's one of the reasons. One of the reasons why I'm going to get it on PC is kind of to support that decision because they should have always done that, and I would never buy Ubisoft games at launch because of that DRM. So like now that they've gotten rid of it, and the worst part about it, and one of the biggest reasons too, is not so much I guess to support that decision for them to get rid of it, but more so to prove a point. Because when they got rid of it, they were still saying like that people were just going to steal their game anyway, and like their reasoning for getting rid of it was, well, 98% of players on the PC will steal the games and not pay any money for it, regardless of whether they it's a free to play game or a full purchase game or whatever. And so it sounded like we'll go ahead and get rid of this because we clearly people don't like it, but it's not like it's going to make more people buy our game. So.
That you might have just swayed me with that. I might wait 2 weeks to get it then.
Plus, like I said, higher resolution. Like, it's going to look way better on PC. And I imagine 60 frames. Nobody other than From Software locks PC games at 30, so.
I have a question. The whole, higher frames and all that doesn't usually affect me. I can see a game with 30 and be fine. But yeah, it's definitely like that one ethical stance is definitely important to.
Like, it's weird because I'm saying like I'm gonna put it to you guys and give you my money.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm thinking. Do you think that was a shrewd business tactic?
Oh yeah, I mean it totally could have been, but at the same time, it's either I continue to buy the console version anyway, or buy the version I actually would prefer, which is the PC version, and in doing so,
you mean the version they make more money off of.
Yeah, but still, it's the version that I'm more happy with because it does have the higher resolution. It's going to look nicer. It's going to run at a higher frame rate. I play most of my games on PC anyway. And on top of it, it proves to them like no, there are those of us who are willing to buy your games on PC and pay real money for it, provided you get rid of your bullshit DRM. So I mean, it's a win-win.
Yeah.
So if you wait 2 more weeks, then that gives you time for Dishonored.
So I'll probably end up picking Dishonored.
Now you got a month.
I did try playing Dust Force this week, and I just I might have to try. Like, can you play that with a controller? Because I tried the keyboard.
I would hope so. Yeah, I mean,
it's more so like people are gonna flame me for this, but I did beat Super Meat Boy with a keyboard.
Oh, good lord! Like dark levels and everything, or just
no? I did the standard story and was done with it.
That's still crazy.
That is still crazy, but
it's just
to see somebody go through some of those dark levels with a keyboard.
That's still like simple controls, and then going into
keyboard
Dust Force,
make it through that.
Yeah, the keyboard was fine.
No, I mean someone trying to do those levels on a keyboard. Does that keyboard make it through it before they just chuck it?
Like Rage destroy it.
Like I'm throwing a controller in Rage, and it wasn't because I was playing a super hard platform. It's because I was playing Ninja Gaiden 2, and that game was just fucked.
Oh man, yeah.
No, I'm pretty.
Dust Force is a little bit more floaty, isn't it, than like Super Meat Boy? Like, it's not really as precision or precise jumps.
It's more like they really need to have the screen closer in because it's more like you're comboing off the walls and everything. It's a lot more button intensive than Super Meat Boy, and so like that, my brain wasn't accepting it.
Yeah, because Super Meat Boy is more timing intensive than anything.
Yeah,
like Dust Force isn't really so much on that end.
So I tried it. I don't know if I can get that. I only paid a couple bucks for it, so I might just put that down and get Dishonored now. So
wait,
sir.
Do you have a controller for your PC?
Yeah, I got one.
Okay. I was going to say, because like with Assassin's Creed, like I would still, I'm not going to use a keyboard on that one.
I originally played the first one on Xbox and later got it on the PC when it came out just because it was on sale.
Oh man, my Assassin's Creed title, so I have one on the PC.
Mm-hmm.
I have two on the PS3. I have Brotherhood on the 360. And then I ended up getting Revelations back on the PC.
I was about to say, you got Revelations on the Wii somehow. Like, yeah, just all over. Yeah.
So, like, yeah, like, that was why with 3, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to buy it on whatever system I want because it doesn't matter anymore. Like, I have it on every system that's available. And actually, I'm actually going to be buying 3 on PC and Wii U because my wife wants to play it as well. And I'll be buying it through Steam, so that doesn't really work with sharing it.
Why are you getting a Wii U?
Because Nintendo makes Mario.
I'm still going to repeat the question. Why are you getting a Wii U?
I'm still going to answer the same way because Nintendo makes Mario. Like, I'm getting a Wii U because even though I didn't play a ton of games on the Wii, I did, you know, I actually recently, because I was, you know, I moved and I reset up my game shelf and everything. Most of the games I bought were Nintendo games, but they were all great games. So, like, I'm going to play New Super Mario Bros. U, and I'm going to play, you know, whatever the new Zelda is going to be. I'm going to play whatever the new 3D Mario is going to be. Like, I know I'm going to play those games, so why not just go ahead and get one?
Not to mention Bayonetta 2.
Yeah.
And there was that, like, it wasn't casual.
Zombie U looks really interesting.
Zombie U looks good.
I've been hearing kind of mixed things, like mostly positive, but I've been hearing a couple people say some negative things about it. But I think a lot of that was had to do with the E3 demo they did, which they've since apparently like very heavily touched the game up in terms of the graphics and everything. Like, I guess it was looking real muddy back then.
It seems like, and this might just be like a weird observer's comparison, but it seems like a British single player version of what was that Arma mod that came out a while ago?
DayZ.
DayZ, yeah.
I can see the comparison. Like,
there doesn't seem to be
persistent death idea.
Like, a story? Persistent death. Is there an ending to it?
I believe there's an ending to it, and there is a story. Like, okay. There's actually like a guiding character that gets in touch with you, I think, pretty early on through like radio contact or whatever.
If it's kind of guiding
you along through the game.
If it's linear, I don't know. But that's not what I've been playing. That's for a future podcast.
yeah, definitely.
I'm going to buy a Wii U. Actually, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to buy a Wii U.
I'm also really interested in the TV stuff they're doing too. Like, that seems really, really interesting. As somebody who has a 2-year-old kid who loves watching Dora on the TV, like, to be able to know that I can sit on my on the controller and play Zombie U or Mario or something, and he can still watch TV on there, like, that's actually really cool.
Right on.
How well is that going to work, though?
Supposedly it's completely lagless. Like, it works great. Like, you got to remember, most of the tech in that console is on that controller. It's not in the system.
You mean the $100 controller?
You mean the $140?
Oh, yeah, $140 controller.
$120, $140. I think is where people are guessing it's going to be.
The price I thought they should, or the price I think they should charge for that controller. Is $100. The price I know they're going to charge is closer to $150.
But at the same time, like, you're only ever going to buy one. And that's going to be down the road because no games at launch for North America are going to support it. The second one.
Yeah.
So, eh.
I'm just happy I want to bet with my friend. I told him that controller would be more than $100, and he said there's no way they charge that much.
Oh yeah, I mean you hadn't seen it coming when you saw it.
I sold him like the most of the money in that console is not going into the hardware for the actual console. It's going into that controller.
Yeah, yeah. That's. I mean, like I said, as soon as you saw the tablet, you knew that was going to be an expensive controller.
One game I really want to see on Wii, and it probably won't even go, is Dungeon Land. But that's an indie game in development. So
I was going to say I have no idea what Dungeon Land is.
The only game I want to see.
It's a very
Wii U.
Cartoony looking, so it's good for Wii. You're like three adventurers in a theme park run by an old dungeon master, which is like ideal for the controller, like the dungeon master kind of like a controller, and just everything's trying to kill you.
You know, actually, I could see that happening for the Wii U because I was actually listening to the 8-4 Play podcast, the most recent one. I don't normally listen to them, but I ran out of Bombcasts and I was really bored at work. So I was listening to
a lot about
the
quality
podcast.
Of that show.
No, it actually was a really good show. I don't care about like Japanese gaming as much. That's what they tend to focus on. But they talked a bit about the Wii U and about Nintendo and stuff. There was actually a lot of Nintendo news on there. But one thing they talked about was that apparently Nintendo has been actually like going to indie developers and kind of like trying to bring them on board on the Wii U. So hopefully this means we'll see a lot more of those indie developers making unique games like that for the Wii U. I mean, there's one they were talking about in particular, and I forgot what it was called. It was like something Aurora or something like that. That's supposed to be like a launch title on their digital store day one.
When you say launch, do you mean day launch day one. Launch.
No, not
their ambitious not sometime launch
between
window.
November and March.
Their ambitious ass launch window.
But anyway, moving forward, I'll just quickly touch on what I've been playing this week. I played a little bit of Dishonored, like I said, probably about an hour and a half or so. That game is great. From what I played of it, it is really good.
I have a copy of that staring me in the face right now that I haven't even opened. All I've done is take the wrapper off of it.
I'm not the kind of person that typically plays stealth games very well because I'm not good at stealth, but the way that game handles it, even in just like that early mission, because it's pretty much all I've really played. I basically did the escape section and then kind of the first sequence basically leading up. I basically just got Blink. So I'm really early into the game. But that first escape sequence, like I did that entire thing, I thought without killing anybody. It turns out you drop guys in water that counts them as dying. go figure. But so I killed three guys, but I didn't kill anybody.
The original Assassin's Creed.
Wait, throwing unconscious people in water kills them? Oh my god, what have I done?
Well, it's actually really interesting. Apparently, there are other ways you can end up actually inadvertently killing people. So, like, if you end up like knocking a guy out in an area where there is a kind of mass of rats. Because kind of the whole story premise is like this plague is being spread by the rats.
Yeah, it's not an actual like plague. It's the rats are coming and eating people.
Yeah, like the rats like, kind of are the plague or something. Yeah, but if you like if you knock a dude out, you know, do a non-lethal takedown on a guy in an area where those are around, they can actually come over and like eat the dude, and it counts as a kill.
Nice.
So if you're going through and trying to do like a ghost playthrough, you gotta be really careful like where you take guys down and like where you move them and stuff. And if you drop them from too far a height, like it will kill them.
You can drag bodies, right?
You can pick them up and walk them around. Yeah,
just put them all in the same spot where rats won't get them.
That was actually what I did in the very beginning sequence. I think I stacked up like five bodies on top of each other. And it was great because like there's this guy in the jail cell, and like every time you bring a guy over and drop him down there, he has some kind of comment to say about that guy. Like there was one guy I like dropped him on there. And he's like, "Oh yeah, good thing you got him. He's spitting my food every day." Like, this is great.
Is there an achievement for, like, stacking up bodies like there was in Assassin's Creed?
I don't know, because, like I said, I've only really done that as my main mission, and there wasn't a whole lot of guys around real close to each other.
That was one of my favorite missions, was, like, achievements was, like, getting five dead bodies into one haystack. Just indiscriminately killing people as they walked by.
I also played the first couple of missions of XCOM. That game is difficult, though. Again, you know, they do kind of hold your hand a fair amount in the early parts, so like I haven't really had anybody die other than the ones that were meant to die. I have had a couple guys wounded already.
Have you run into chrysalids?
No. The newest enemy I've run into are Thin Men.
The Thin Men are annoying. Chrysalids are evil. Evil.
The thing that's like really like you have to be so fucking careful about with that game is like positioning of your guys, not only, you know, in relation to any enemies you can see, but if you move a guy to where he's behind cover for any maybe enemies in front of you, and then you move another guy and he suddenly uncovers more enemies, those enemies could be in an area where they're just totally flanking that guy and they get free shots on him. So you got to be so careful like where you place guys, and like more specifically once you have a guy in place, where you move the rest of your guys to make sure that you don't make that first guy kind of vulnerable to any new enemies. Rough.
I've had to reload so many saves because I put somebody in the wrong spot and they revealed six enemies.
I'm going to try really hard not to
reload. I'm
saying
this right now. Have fun attacking that base without reloading.
I'm going to try it. I'll let you know how it goes. But
there were six chrysalids and two thin men.
Oh, I just thought of a crazy game concept for like those types, like the XCOM where you're constantly saving. Is like between normal and hard, there's just like you get... Whenever you successfully beat a mission, you get a certain number of saves you can use.
So something kind of... That would actually be between hard and Iron Man, then.
Well, yeah.
The Iron Man playthrough is just straight up one save. That's all you get.
But just, yeah, like putting a whole new, like, tactical level of, like, do I want to use one of my saves?
You're not talking number of save slots, but you're talking about just number of saves, like,
number of, like, times you can load in that mission before it's just a, yeah.
Okay.
It gets marked as a failure or something. And you,
oh, that'd be rough. That'd be real rough. No. No. So, the other game that I've been playing a bit about, last week on the podcast, for anybody who listened, I admitted that I did go out and buy the expansion for World of Warcraft, and
so much for that blood pact you had.
So the worst part about it was, like, I got it, and then I realized that this was, like, weeks from the end of my annual pass. Like, my annual pass ends in, like, 2 weeks. But I justified it to myself because I was like, you know, I'll go ahead and spend the money on the expansion now and kind of get in there, see what it's all about, and know now whether or not I actually want to even, like, continue down that road, or if I just want to go ahead and tap out at the 21st. Because I'd rather do it this way than to have, you know, that time pass and then be like, I want to go back and check out World of Warcraft again, you know, check out this expansion, and then go and spend, you know, the $40 on buying it, and then spend the extra money for the sub pass when I necessarily need to. So I'm kind of getting out of the way now. I've been playing a monk, and the class I know is interesting, and there's some cool things that they do with it, because I played some in the beta at a higher level, but with the changes they made to kind of how they dole out abilities and the way they've changed the talent system around, the first 20 levels of a monk are fucking boring. Like, I was level 20 and I had, like, 3 abilities. Like, I had three offensive abilities, and that was it. And actually, like, I think I'm 26 now. I have 3 offensive abilities. I have a heal that also does damage. And then I have a one-hit kill that kills anything that is at or below my max health on a 1 minute cooldown. And everything else is just, like, utility stuff.
See, to, like, Guild Wars players who would be, I assume, listen to this, that sounds like, you know, that would be, like, 1 through 10 sort of thing. But for anybody who hasn't played WoW, you, like, what, I think 90-some-odd abilities by level 70?
Yeah, like, you have, like, by level 10, you have almost a full bar. Like, you almost have 1 through 10 by that point, usually. But because this is, like, the first class that's, like, built around this new system of theirs, they're kind of spreading out the abilities. There aren't nearly as many abilities as there are for other classes. So it's nice in that respect at max level, because you don't have the, you know, 70 or 90 abilities or something to deal with. But at the same time, like, while you're leveling, it's just you're just kind of doing the same old shit. Like, just the gameplay never really changes up. I guess, and maybe that's just me being spoiled by Guild Wars 2, because if I want to change things up, I just change weapons, and now I have a whole new set of abilities and a whole new playstyle. Yeah. Like, WoW doesn't really offer that. So, I mean, I'm going to keep going with it and try to get to the higher levels and see, you know, how that works out. I'm starting to hit the point now where I'm starting to get abilities, so we'll see. But, so that's what I've been spending a little bit more time with. I unfortunately haven't been spending really any time with Guild Wars 2, but that will hopefully change this weekend, because it's supposed to rain like crazy tomorrow, so I'm going to go nowhere and just play games.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Before after we do all of that transfer shit tomorrow.
Yes.
Probably before, during, and after, yes.
The fun that's going to be.
Just want to segue to that?
Sure. So, Thurb, I think I'll let you take that one, since you've kind of taken the reins, I think, on that whole thing.
Well, okay, it's a little bit of a topic, but we'll get to that and then just move on to updates and everything. But okay. Basically, for I'd say there's about like 50 to like maybe 100 people who are just like, man, I was first time playing this MMO and I would love to play with you guys. Can I get an invite?
No.
We can now start. Well, by the time you listen to this, we can now start inviting again. There's, I want to say, like 100 some odd spots we're going to be booting of just people who, for the past 2 weeks, they haven't been on. We've been spamming in chat, hey, we're, like, you know.
Or they transferred to other servers, because I've seen people who have been on who are just on other servers.
And it's we're happy to have those people in the, like, Giant Bomb community, but they should be in How I Met Your Mesmer. Like, Lincoln Force is Giant Bomb people who are on and active on Yaxpend.
And yeah, so, and I mean, it's not like we're, you know, we're running with a small, you know, guild cap. I mean, we got 500 guild members, and we're full, and there are quite a few that are inactive for whatever reason. And like you said, it's not like we're kicking them out of the community and saying, sorry, you know, too bad you can't play with us anymore, ha ha ha. It's more just wanting to keep the active players playing together and not have those active people sitting in a guild where there's like maybe three of them.
And if you are a person who is active in Guild Wars and just you feel committed to another guild, check on the forums. We have a post saying to like join our Steam group. Check that out, because if we ever start doing events and you want to be a part of that but still want to be part of your guild, join that, and that will start like popping in, hey, we're doing this on this day.
Yeah, and I was actually really pleased to see from the form that Seneca put out for everyone to fill out for all that information, and one of those was, like, you know, whether you join the Steam group. It was actually really cool to see that probably, like, 90% of people that filled that out joined the Steam group. Yeah. Like, it's going to make, like, going forward, that's going to make guild events a lot easier to manage.
At least until ArenaNet will start implementing things like guild calendars and events.
Yeah.
The guild message that pops up when you log in.
But they have started implementing some things. Do we want to talk about that?
Yeah. So let's go into. We'll probably start with the patch notes. And these are at this point probably a little bit old, but they did come out like right after we recorded last week. So they would be the patch notes for October 7th. And there's a whole slew of patch notes in there. Have you guys got a chance to really look through these much? I imagine by now you're probably pretty familiar with them.
Yeah, a bit.
So again, like I've kind of been away from the game more than I would have liked. So, like, what were kind of the big standout changes they made in this patch?
Pistol whip.
Pistol whip.
And they did finally update pistol whip.
15% less damage.
A lot of the things we talked about two podcasts ago with the whole like PvP and balancing is like they've been making some slight changes to see if that helps balance the field some. Pistol whip got a damage reduction, and as Cynic was saying, Mesmer's just being able to attack 8 guys at once with our phantasms. We have longer casting times on a lot of those, so should hopefully balance some things out. They made a few other changes. Guardians, Riven, do you want to talk about that?
They're trying to change retaliation, so it's not something you can basically keep up at all times, to something that you just use as a counter if someone's getting ready to like burst you. Or not burst you so much. It's going to do a ton of damage. And they also changed the order of the skills in the hotbar, which is annoying. Just because of muscle memory.
So were there any like non-class related changes that were pretty significant? Or was it pretty much just like mostly balanced things?
They fixed some Mystic Forge recipes that weren't working right.
They've also done... I assume they've done some stamping down on the exploding in dungeons. It looks like they close map exploits in Citadel of Flame, which I can guess there's one of them where you just skip a whole boss event.
I think it was the path that everyone was speedrunning before they put the limit on there. You could just skip a boss.
Which, I mean, it's silly. So, it's like I joined these pugs, and like we would spend 20 minutes doing just like avoiding fighting. And like, guys, we could do this fighting in 15. Why are we doing this? Because it's faster.
Because you can. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally.
People feel like they need to abuse things when they can.
I mean, yeah, it's exactly. Because, I mean, there were other dungeons where you could avoid entire mobs in, I mean, what was it?
Caudicus's Manor?
Not Caudicus's Manor. No, that's acceptable. I mean, like, Orah, you could get through the first two bosses in a total of 5 kills, and 2 of those would be the first 2 bosses.
Yeah.
So, you mentioned Caudicus's Manor, and I noticed they closed map exploits there, but they haven't addressed... weren't there some pretty significant balance issues in some of those fights?
Riven has trouble talking about him because it brings up such like nightmares. He just like
it's weird that like that still hasn't been addressed though, right? Like that's not just a Riven problem. That's kind of widespread.
There's an issue on every one of those paths.
He's referring to a giant room in which there's like 3 very close groups of veterans, and like there's like for each group there's maybe 1 non-elite. Like there's all elites, and so you pull one, and then like the other 2 just auto aggro as well. and death is all that happens from there. and so, like, his strategy is to just run past them all.
It works.
So do you think that's, like, intended? Or do you think they just, like, they'd rather stamp out the bug stuff first before they start touching balance?
I think they'd probably rather get rid of the bug stuff. I think everyone who runs that dungeon knows you can just run past those things as far as that. Everyone I run that dungeon with knows we're just going to run past these enemies.
Yeah.
That path, that mob is only there for two of the three paths, and the other one has a far, far worse thing. Where it's a wall you have to destroy, or a gate that you have to blow up with five powder kegs. So you have to run the powder kegs over there, put them in the door in specific spots, while fighting off enemies who can not only attack you and kill you, but they can take the powder kegs and move them back.
That sounds like an uphill battle if I've ever heard one.
Yep. No kidding. All right, and then
lastly, another update they did was they've been trying to stamp down the hackers and whatnot in World versus World with the Orbs of Power.
You say trying, so I'm guessing.
Well, they've stopped one of the ways where Mesmers could, like, blink through walls, grab the orb, and then just portal out.
Okay.
They still haven't fixed the flying. That's still happening.
Apparently there was a glitch where you could make multiple orbs of power by just having the person who had the orb disconnect. I swear I read that in one of the patch notes.
Oh, Gates of Madness has seven orbs. How'd they do that?
No wonder we can't kill them. They have, what would that be?
300,000 health?
What? 350 to each stat?
Oh, good lord.
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay, so that pretty much it then for, I mean, it was, like I said, there's quite a bit of patch notes here, but it looks like a lot of it was mostly bug fixing.
Yeah.
Again, which it's kind of been their MO since launch, or really since the first big patch, just kind of like fixing all these bugs and everything before they really get into the heavy balancing.
It seems like a lot of the bugs are, they're finishing those up, and they're beginning to start implementing things to make the game fun again.
Wait, this game was fun?
Well, back in the beta, it was.
When they get rid of
back in the beta, it was a blast. You're right.
When they get rid of the bots, this game will be so much more fun. What I would argue is
when they implement some of these upcoming structured PvP changes, this game will be a lot better.
I haven't been to structured PvP in a while. I should, but...
Amazingsegues.com.
It's hilarious.
I haven't seen the bots, you're right.
It's just a train of usually like guardians, warriors, and for the most part, rangers.
It is funny to see.
So it's like multi-boxing bots?
They're just running a path. Like running a path, killing enemies as they spawn in front of them.
Yeah.
In WW or?
No, in like high level areas, some low level areas.
In PvP. Okay,
I've seen one or two, but like I've also seen, like, I've been in Frostgore Sound.
There are spots where there's 40 of them.
50 people stacked up, and like I click one of them, and it's like level 20. And I'm like, how did you. Hats off to that botter. I don't know how they got that person there.
The best part is when you just go there and you see, it's like, wow, that's a lot of bears. Oh, I found the bot location. There's 40 bots.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, man. All right. Enemies spawn
before new things coming out.
See them.
New things coming out. They Jonathan Sharp released a blog post talking about kind of the future of structured PvP in Guild Wars 2. And while they weren't willing to talk about everything that they plan to implement in the future, what they did talk about is what they feel. Basically, they kind of, you know, they have this same idea that a lot of MMO developers have kind of adopted from companies like Blizzard, where, you know, it's done when it's done. And in their case, you know, we'll show it when it's ready. So what they have talked about here is pretty much what they feel like is ready to be talked about. It's likely, you know, not too far off from being implemented in the game.
Yeah, they're still not even giving dates. They're just saying near future.
Yeah, like this is coming in the future, but this is what we're willing to talk about right now because this is what we have ready. There's some other things that are coming down the road. The first of those was free automated tournaments. So it looks like with those, like what is the difference between the free automated tournaments and the current like free tournaments?
I think they are the current tournaments.
Okay, so they're just changing the reward system then?
I think they're outlining that and then showing what you get for the paid tournaments.
So they're outlining that to then show, okay, this is what you do now. So then, okay, I guess the first thing they're going to implement then is going to be the paid tournaments. And we've kind of known about paid tournaments since the beta.
Yeah.
And basically what those are is those are what you're going to use your tournament tickets for that you can get through either buying them with gems, you can get them as from reward chests, from the free tournaments, and you also receive them when you rank up.
Mm-hmm.
And you use those tickets to get in there into the paid tournaments. And in those paid tournaments, that is where your fully custom teams are. So there's not going to be any solo queuing in paid tournaments. That's going to be for the pre-made 5v5 teams to go in. And I believe the map rotation is going to be the same as the free tournaments are, which is really unfortunate. I feel like map rotation should be random. You shouldn't have to play the same map every time for round one.
But Durin, what if I am in a PvP group where we want to practice a certain map and not have to go through the other tournaments?
Well, if that's the case, they have a solution for you.
What is that?
That solution would be custom arenas. ArenaNet, this is something we've known about for a little bit, but they, are finally willing to talk about it, and that is that you are going to be able to rent a custom arena, and it seems like that's going to be something rented on a player basis, so I imagine if you're renting it for your guild, probably like the guild master or somebody will be the one in control of that. And they can basically set it to be, completely open, password protected. You can change map rotations. There's going to be a whole slew of customizable options that you can set for your custom arenas. Even going so far as, it sounds like even being able to, like run it by yourself, password protected. You can have your own personal custom arena if you really wanted to pay for it. The one thing they're not talking about for it is how you're going to pay for it. They said that in a future blog post, they're going to talk about custom arenas in a lot more detail, discuss the settings available on them in more detail than kind of the basics they showed here, as well as how you'll rent them. What do you guys think? I think we talked about this, I believe it was last week, about how we think that they're probably going to have players pay for this. Some people were talking about karma as a means of it. I don't think that's going to be the case. I really think it's going to be gem.
I would say gems, but then they have put
a
limit on the amount of karma you can get per day. So I guess
they did raise it though. They raised it with
because people would spend an hour in ore and hit the limit. And
do you think maybe they would do a guild influence?
I would say it may be influence because
you said extremely heavy cost of influence or something.
It would be one person. So if everyone just keeps sending these whatever this fund is to an officer to be the one to buy it, you can't send karma. So I don't think karma is going to be
And because it's a single, it is something rented by a single person from the sounds of how they described it, that would be how it would have to work. So it would either be, sending the, gold or gems or what have you to a person. So like you said, karma wouldn't work in that case.
Can you send gems to someone?
No, but you can mail them money, which they can then turn into gems.
Yeah. All right.
So that could be the way they could get around that for gems. There's going to be a gems option. They have to try to monetize this as much as they can. And it makes sense for them to do it. I mean, they're talking about renting servers. There's going to be a monetization of it.
To be honest, I think gems would be okay because
you can buy
it. We still haven't seen a lot of new things for the gem store.
You haven't seen the new dyes you can buy?
Speaking of new gems for the gem store, do we want to go ahead and segue then into the next?
sure.
Next article.
Sure. Completely unintentional that time.
Completely unintentional. But there may be some new items coming. There was a post on Guild Wars 2 Guru where they discovered some new items in the database. So those items are a permanent bank access contract, a permanent Black Lion merchant contract, permanent trading post pickup contract, and then the rest of these are really interesting, at least to me personally.
Yeah.
A self-style hair kit, total makeover kit, random makeover potion, random hair tonic, and a name change contract.
Which, permanent things we've heard about before, but they were mainly just it's when they started talking about people wanting to get into the Black Lion chests again. Those, because they would, rarely show up there. But the self-style hair kit, those things are, like newer for me at least. And
yeah, and we should probably point out, like, when we say like new things on the gym store, we're assuming these are going to be gym purchasable items.
Yeah,
most likely they will be, but nothing is for certain yet. These are just items that were discovered.
Yeah. I would say the kits are gem store. The permanent things. Go ahead.
I would say you could probably get all of them out of a Black Lion chest, but maybe not all of them can be sold on the auction house, like a few of the other things from the Trading Post can.
Trading Post.
Yeah, I would say probably all of the permanent things, like, so those permanent contracts as well as the name change contract, I don't think those are going to be sellable. I think those are just going to be straight up like bound when you pick it up.
And the Trading Post currently offers like the temporary ones of those, right?
The company?
Gem shop?
The gem shop?
The gem shop, my bad.
Yeah. I believe it has temporaries of all of those, you know, obviously with the exception of the name change.
A temporary name change would be great.
do you think that they would have like a name change contract show up in a Black Lion chest though?
I mean, I would make it like one of the smallest chances.
I would not be
surprised.
I would
surprised think that would be the one item that
there
wouldn't.
But that seems something more for the gem store.
Yeah, like that seems like more along the lines of like this is a service offered through the gem store. The only reason I can see it maybe being an in-game item is because they are calling it a contract, same as the other permanent items.
Yeah.
We've
seen kits before in the gem store, and the contracts seem to be from the the chests.
I was just assuming that the kits and the potion and the tonic would come out of the chest, just because everything else that says kit and potion and tonic can come out of the chest.
That would make sense too. Yeah, the random ones. Yeah, I mean those. I definitely see those coming out of the chest as well. And clearly, like I said, all of this stuff is going to be on the gem store. I would be very surprised if any of this was not available on the gem store for purchase.
What do you think they?
Because that store needs some stuff.
Yeah. What do they mean by random though? Do you mean like you get to change one random makeover potion?
No, the random makeover potion randomly changes all appearance settings, height, body type, skin color, markings, face, and hair.
Oh.
You remain the same race and profession, and the item is destroyed when you finish using it.
Oh, man.
Same with the hair tonic. The hair tonic will randomly pick a hairstyle and color.
I hope it's a temporary 5-minute thing.
I hope it's not of
your race.
I hope it's permanent. I hope it's permanent.
It's definitely got to be permanent.
This is who does that by accident.
This is basically, you know, this game's character character recustomization is going to be done through this stuff. And I think that's a cool way to do it. Like, making it a gem store item is obvious. Like I said, they need more things in that store and they need more ways to monetize the game. But, you know, making those as items that you can also get in the game as well kind of goes along with what ArenaNet's been doing from the beginning. Like, it seems like there's very little that is gym store only in this game, and that's really cool.
Yeah.
All right, so moving along.
Yeah, without any segue, do we just want to go to the next topic, which it's really hard to go to, but the mobile authenticator?
Yeah, we'll touch on the mobile authenticator. It's, you know, people's accounts have been getting stolen since day one, so it's definitely something people have been wanting.
Actually, something that's neat with me is, well, myself, and we've actually seen a few posts on the Giant Bomb forums, like Zumi Ramen, I don't use my password for anything else. I have it written down, and yet somehow it was, like, they didn't get through, but somebody in China tried, like, accessing it. And so it's like, there seems to be, like, they're trying, the evil hackers that are trying to get our accounts are now trying the brute force method, whereas before they're just looking through forums. And so it seems like now ArenaNet's trying to roll out a more permanent way to ensure that no one gets your account, a mobile authenticator.
And it's cool too, because
so well for Blizzard.
Yeah,
it worked well for Blizzard for quite a while.
Yeah,
I mean, and don't get me wrong, like the mobile authenticator actually has worked pretty much all the time until they had the hack on the server. That was when it kind of came out that they were fucking retarded and had their mobile authenticator information, granted it was encrypted, but still, had that information on the same servers that your account password information was on. So, that's an issue.
Slight breach of security.
A little bit.
They must have gotten their information from Sony and PlayStation on how to keep secure.
But ArenaNet shouldn't have such a problem, because they are actually, instead of using their own mobile authenticator running through their own systems, through their own servers, They're using the Google Authenticator for iPhones and Android, and the Windows Authenticator for the five of you that have Windows phones. And they've outlined...
No, there's more than five people have a Windows phone. There's
You're right. My five... wife has one too, so that's six.
No, there's more than five. There's more than five Microsoft employees. They probably make
Most of them have
Windows.
iPhones.
Yeah, but they don't use them. They don't have anything on there. It's a paperweight.
So they have on the forums. If you look in the news and announcement section, it's currently in beta, but it's available for anybody with an iPhone, Android phone, or Windows phone. And they give you the instructions step by step on there how to set it up. It's real simple. Except I couldn't get my QR code to work, so I had to manually type it in. The one time I've ever tried to use a QR code. Things are fucking worthless. But yeah, I mean, like you said, like account theft has been a real big problem, and it's been something people have been wanting them to address for a while. And it sounded like this was going to be a part of their, whatever their app was going to be. And then that kind of fell through, and then they were talking about just releasing the API. And so everyone was like, well, what about an authenticator? You know, we kind of still need that. So it's good they're getting it out there. Maybe a little late. They should have had it ready for launch, as they have since learned. But, you know, like you said, it's good that it's out there. There's not really much more to say.
Well, I guess as a pro tip to anybody listening who doesn't know, who, like, isn't aware of, like, a good password protection or anything, get as many characters as you can. And if it's something you're not sure you're going to remember, write it down. Because if you really think, like, if you keep a piece of paper like I do next to your computer, the odds that if someone's going to break in and start stealing my stuff, they aren't going to see the piece of paper and steal my Guild Wars 2 account.
And it's very important to note there, to make that distinction, write it down on a piece of paper and put it next to your computer. Don't save it as a notepad file labeled Guild Wars 2 password on your desktop.
Don't do that. Keep it analog.
All right, so we'll go ahead and move on past that one and hit our last news topic here, which is... was actually a almost breaking news. I think it was. This was.
It is the most exciting update I think that we have.
Yeah. So this is the announcement of the Shadow of the Mad King. Woo! So I think I'll let you take this third because I think you seem to be a lot more familiar with what this means, other than awesome Halloween events, which I'm totally all for.
But that is what I'm all for. It's the Mad King was something from Guild Wars 1, which I didn't play during the Halloween time. I research all sorts of stuff because I have no life. But they're just adding a lot of things, doing a lot of changing to the maps. At least I'm pretty sure that's what they're doing. And then adding new outfits for the Black Lion Trading Company to be selling.
Oh, nice. So, like, the costumes and stuff, basically. Yeah. Now, is that stuff going to be, like, temporary just for this event, or is it going to, like, in terms of, like, availability on the store?
That I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't temporary.
I'd like to think it's permanent.
I imagine the items themselves will be permanent, but do you think that the items' existence on the Black Lion Trading Company...
They'll only release release the items on while this update's happening in Halloween.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to just have the Halloween costume for Halloween.
So, yeah, it looks like, aside from, you know, the Halloween festivities, the things we can expect to see are that they are this is going to be the update where they include the paid tournaments. And then they are also going to have new events, jumping puzzles, bosses, mini dungeons and achievements appearing across the maps.
Which, actually, this is a very important one for me because, well, I enjoy the jumping puzzles, but I don't think they're going to release any new zones. I think they're just going to, like, there's still lots of areas on the maps that are hidden. Mm-hmm. That, like, I've scoured left and right, and, like, a good example is Metrica Province. I've yet to find anything there, and yet there's these huge areas, like, something could be hidden back there. And I think they've made these jumping puzzles, and they'll just, like, we'll get this massive patch, and it's like, why is this such a large file? It's because it's a whole new zone. That's just Metrica Province version 2.
Hmm.
I mean, when I was doing world completion, I found a bunch of areas like that as well. I assumed they'd be for expansion. Like, when I think it's Machika Province. I mean, you could go to the wall where the Tengu are.
Yeah. This seems like it's a good use of ArenaNet's resources rather than trying to make a whole new zone. They already have a zone that's, like, from a developer standpoint, like 80% full. And so they can just keep adding more stuff there with the light team and not have to use more resources designing a whole new map.
Yeah.
At least not every update.
I was going to say, like, how far out do you think we are from them actually releasing a new zone? Like, this is, they are, you know, calling this the first major game release for Guild Wars 2.
Yeah.
And with this release, they're not including, new zones. They're maybe including add-ons to zones. So when do you think we should expect to see, you know, an actual proper new map?
I believe you're a Guild Wars 1 vet, right, Duran?
No, I'm not, actually. I played all of about 4 hours of it with Cynic a couple weeks before launch.
To get all that stuff?
No. Mostly just to see where they were coming from with the game.
See, between now and last time I was on this podcast, I've since gone and bought Guild Wars 1.
Oh, man, you poor, poor soul. After playing Guild Wars 2, I cannot see how anyone can go back and play that game.
It's a game I have running in the background during most of my classes, and it's just my pet and this little thing that they gave me for buying the game, killing things while I'm not paying attention.
you can get your heroes to help out, too, on some missions. I just, like, the best way I can say to play Guild Wars 1 after playing Guild Wars 2 is take the spacebar key off your keyboard.
Yeah. Well, no, because you still need it.
No, you can use the mouse. Just right-click.
Oh, that's true. Okay. Spacebar is easier, though.
Yeah, but I keep wanting to jump.
I like jumping. Especially when you hit the edges and, like, it's about a 4-foot drop.
Yeah.
You want to just walk down there. No, I got to walk all the way around this ledge because invisible walls everywhere.
Yeah. But I'd like to think we'll see more maps, more zones and whatnot with, like, later patches, but I'm not sure it's going to be a regular thing. The reason why I asked if you were a vet was I wasn't sure how often they added new maps back then.
Yeah, I don't know. All of our vets are not on the show today.
So it's a wonderful topic for next time.
There you go.
Yes.
In regards to adding, you know, new content like that to the game, I would be very surprised if we went past March 31st, 2013 and did not have another major content update with, you know, new proper zones and, mm-hmm. you know, maybe a dungeon or two in there. Because I imagine, you know, with that being the end of quarter four, 2012, they're going to try and, you know, get that last little boost in and get more people in here, get more cash influx as much as they can before that quarter ends. So I think it makes a lot of sense for them to release something before that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to guess probably like a January, maybe like early February release of the next major content.
A Valentine's Day update then includes a new dungeon.
There you go. They'll just release it every time there's a holiday.
That involves the love story between Logan and Queen Jenna.
And I will take a break from the game.
Please tell me, like, the dungeon is going to be, like, Logan has become corrupted by somebody, and we have to kill him before he does something evil. I don't care. I just want to kill Logan.
No, it'll be just like a ripoff of Romeo and Juliet, and they'll just both die at the end.
Yeah.
Which I'm totally okay with, too, except that leading up to the death of them, you still have to deal with Logan the whole way. So there's that. Mm-hmm.
My favorite dungeon to run so far is still in Twilight Arbor story, just because you get to kill Logan, if only an illusion.
I should get some alcohol one day, and I should do the Twilight Arbor drinking game.
Every time they say "Dear Heart," take a swig.
Oh God!
I'm not that much of a heavyweight. I don't think I'd make it that long.
I was gonna say all I know is I can never do that before a podcast because. We saw how that worked out last time.
That was great. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. That was great.
Gold. But yeah, that this big patch with new mini dungeons and whatnot is due for the 22nd, so middle of this month.
Yep, not too far off at all. Just a couple weeks. Exactly 10 days from the time of this recording.
That's exam week for me.
Great Scott.
I haven't even hit level 80 yet. God, I'm slacking.
There are some people in the guild who have like 2 and almost 3 level 80s. You are slacking.
Oh, good God. All right, I gotta get on it. All right, so this is kind of, like I said before when we first started the show, this is kind of a short show, so we'll go ahead and end it there. So, plugs. Revan, any plugs?
Nope.
All right. Thurbleton, any plugs?
Just with, we do 3 days of World vs. World. The big one right now has been every Friday with the rollover. We also do a lot of people show up on Saturday. We're trying to get a solid group to have some fun on Wednesdays, Wub Wub Wednesdays. It's just like it. We just been having bad luck with what Borderlands we end up going to. But keep showing up for that, people who got busy weekends. And I think we're trying to do Tournament Tuesdays. Is that a reality yet? I'm sure it will be reality come Custom Arena time.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, that will definitely be a reality. I want to make sure that we start getting some structured stuff going soon, because that's definitely, you know, in my wheelhouse, that's where I'll probably be spending the majority of my level 80 time.
Yeah, we can do just, like, everyone do troll builds, and we'll all be in, like, our own giant bomb versus giant bomb server or something.
The fun of the betas was when random people would come into the servers, and you would just use them as bait to kill people.
See, that's exactly why these guild structured PvP events have to happen, because, like, random queuing structured PvP is just not fun.
No.
Like, in no way is it fun at all. So I definitely want to make sure we get that stuff going real soon. If not this coming week, then we will definitely do something the following week. So
yeah, we are in the works. People who are listening, we are in the works for doing these events. Join the Steam group. By the time of this podcast, if you're not in Lincoln Force, talk to one of the officers. We will get you guys in here, and we'll start doing fun things.
Yep. All right. And that's the show. Cynic, have fun editing, because I'm not doing it. And we'll see you guys all next week, hopefully with Cynic and Noob back this time. We were supposed to have Suki on for this episode, so we'll see if we can maybe get him on next week. I don't know if that's going to happen. We record pretty late his time.
Yeah, he's getting close to school time, and it's like 4 a.m. when he records.
Man, who cares about sleep?
That's all right. Suki never sleeps anyway. That's okay.
I'm going to say I want the person who's operating on me to be well rested.
No, you want just him hopped up on you want that fucker hopped up on caffeine, just witching when he's got that scalpel inside you.
One hand with the scalpel, the other hand still playing the game in tournaments and talking on Mumble.
There you go. I mean,
Suki.
We'll end it there. Suki. Yes. Suki.